Good evening and happy Monday, everyone. We are here on the SMB Learning Center. We thank you all for being here, and we are going to be wrapping up our discussion on all or nothing commitment issues. So again, we thank you for being here. We look forward to everyone sharing in the word with us as we prepare to fellowship and receive what God has for us. And as we prepare to do that, I want to introduce our leader, Mr. Tully's Carr.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Latanya, and I thank everybody for being here this evening as we engage on our SMB Learning Center. So with that being said, I hope everyone has an opportunity to where you have a few questions, a few things that you may want to share, you know, engage in the call, just don't listen, you know, share what God has placed on your heart, any questions, any comments, any scriptures, anything extra about this topic, because I know we all have faced this topic sometime in our life, especially when it's talking about, you know, the things that we, you know, engage with God, okay? And that's very important because someone else needs to hear your testimony. Someone else needs to hear it. They're not the only one that has been going through commitment issues. And, you know, I challenge each and every last one of us to, as we talk about commitment issues, make sure the same thing that we desire in the natural is the very thing that we're giving God in the spiritual realm. That's very important because we desire so much from people and we want loyalty and we want commitment. We got to make sure we're giving God that, and give God loyalty is not just saying his name and knowing that he has our back. More specifically, is knowing that we have his back, and how we have God's back is doing what he tells us to do. In other words, the best commitment to God is being controlled by God, letting him have his way with your life. That's the very best commitment that we can ever produce for God. All right, so with that being said, we can go ahead and get started. I'm going to let Ms. Tiana and Ms. Let y'all introduce y'all to our SMB Learning Center crew. We have Ms. Tiana, we have Mr. DJ, and we have Ms. Latanya. Okay, so those three will be spearheading this, and y'all have a way to go ahead and open us up with prayer, and then we'll get started.
Dear Lord, we come before you at this hour to say thank you. We thank you, dear God, for placing us together once again so that we may fellowship, Lord God, so that we may grow together in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word and what you would have us to do. We ask that you will open up our hearts and our minds, Lord God, so that we may receive all that you have for us, but not let it stop here, dear God, that we may go forward, go out into the world and share with other believers, dear God, share with those who are lost. We thank you, dear God, and we know that everything that you do is a purpose and a plan behind all of it. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for our leader, dear God. We ask and pray all of these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 So, actually, as we're talking about this, the commitment issues, one of the things that I have to do when I do the self-evaluations is to ask myself, why did I start in the first place? So I just want to challenge everyone to remember why you started when we talk about, you know, having commitment issues and the things that we're going to bring up tonight. So what was your motive? And that could be in relationships, so a relationship with a significant other or your spouse. Why did you start out in that relationship? So there's something to think about. Also, it could be, why did you begin in your relationship with God? What brought you there? And, you know, what was your motive behind that? Also, we look at other examples that we can all relate to is, why did you join the gym? Because I'm guilty. I've joined the gym. I've invested in doing that, but never made it there. So I was not committed to doing that. And initially when I set out, I thought about it and I said, okay, my motives were not in line with what they should have been. It ultimately should have been to better my health and in the end to glorify God. So also when you look at making a promise, you make a promise to someone, you make a commitment, What were your motives? What were your intentions when you first made that promise? So just a few things to think about. And Mr. Carr just mentioned it, but, you know, we have to remember that we are Christians first, and this was something that I learned here in ministry. So when I think about that, I look at the commitment that Christ has made to us, and when we look back, all the way back at the cross, where it all started, this is when we can be reminded how committed Christ was to us. You know, so he had a goal. He set out to save us, and that's what he did. He didn't stray away from that. So I just want to ask, you know, and if anyone wants to chime in, we would love to hear, you know, what it is, you know, that has kept you from committing. And, you know, there's ever been a time when you were afraid of committing or not willing to commit to God, or it could have been to someone or something. And why was that? But also we'd like to know, how did you overcome that barrier that was keeping you from giving your all? So I'm going to share, you know, what it was for me. And I was ultimately afraid of being committed to ministry. And this is something that I've not shared before, but the fear came in because I didn't believe that, you know, I knew enough, or I didn't believe that I was good enough to make that commitment, to put myself out there, to be vulnerable to whatever it is that God has for me. So ultimately, when we talk about commitment, this is where the trust issues come in as well, because I was not trusting God with the calling that he had placed on my life. And just to share how I overcame that was I became totally transparent. And what I mean by that is I just became submissive to God. And it started by being in prayer. So whatever it is that you're willing or wanting to commit to, it starts with that open communication with God and having that prayer life with God. So that was the first step that I took. And from there, you know how we always say, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, this is what I allowed him to do. But all before then, I stood in fear because I was prideful and I was not willing to be open to receive what it was that God has for me. So that was just a little bit, you know, of my side of, you know, being committed or not being committed, I should say. But that was also just sharing how, you know, God allowed me to overcome that particular situation in my commitment to him. So I don't know if any one of you have, you know, a story that you'd like to share about, you know, being afraid of, you know, committing yourself to someone or something, you know, that God had set, you know, for you to do. And if you were, how did you overcome that?
Well, for me, I definitely had commitment issues with just overall relationships due to my past. And I've had abandonment, a ton of abandonment when it came from not only my father, but also from my childhood best friend. And in that, there was a lot of not wanting to commit or connect with people in that way for that long-term relationship, friendship, whatever it was. And the thing that won for me was I was tired of that life. It came to a point that it was a breaking point for me, and all I could do was, you know, call out to God that I'm tired of this transient, it became a transient lifestyle, one person in, out, that wasn't something sustainable, and just said, I'm done with it. I am seeking what you have for me, Lord. You know, present that, whatever that is, to me. And right. I had to give my life to Christ to even understand what it is to be, we say in our school, team and family, what it means to walk in a committed relationship, what it is to give your all to whomever, regardless of what they're giving back to you, the same as God has given to us. So that's what Mm-hmm. That was my feeling.
Oh, I can relate. I can relate. I won't go into detail, but surely, you know, the story that I shared just about ministry, that was just one thing. But again, like you said, with relationships, I think a lot of us can relate to that because we've all been in and out of relationships, be it platonic or, you know, some other type of relationship, or it could have been, you know, just with a parent or a sibling. And, you know, again, I say that it starts with Christ because if we look back over our life and we do that self-evaluation, this is where we see the times when God was not evident in our life, the times when we were not in a relationship with Him, how things turned out differently from the way that they did when we were committed to Him, when we were faithful to Him, and we were doing the things that He calls us to do on a day-to-day basis. So that's being in that relationship with Him and being in the Word. So it ultimately, you know, starts there. A lot of times, you know, Mr. Carr often says that, you know, you don't want to be super spiritual, but a lot of times if people don't understand or, you know the expectations that God has of them, then this is when the decisions that they make ultimately end up causing them to be in a rut, if you will, and they don't understand what it is to be truly committed in a relationship, or like I gave some examples in the beginning, what it means to be committed to whatever it is that you set out to do. So it could be joining the gym. It could be ministry. It could be the relationship. It could be just the promise that you made. And a lot of times we don't have the right motives going in. And if we look at God and we look at the example that Christ, you know, gave us and the one that He continues to give us, then this is how we can go forward in living our lives and doing the things that, you know, we set out to do, the commitments that we make to ourselves but also to other people. So, you know, that was just
pause
some of the things that came up.
Think up a little bit. Okay, let me shake this up a little bit. So this is a learning center, y'all. Okay? So let's hear what we've learned this past week. Okay? One thing we say all or nothing. Okay, y'all can go on mute. Leave Mr. DJ unmuted. Y'all two can go on mute. Okay. The thing about it, check this out. When you say all or nothing, what do we mean all or nothing? What have we learned? We talked about, you know, several people this past week. Okay, one of which is very influential in all our lives, is he baptized Jesus. We talked about John the Baptist. Now, for you to baptize Jesus, let's say, for instance, you baptized Jesus. What would that mean? Just think about that for a second. You personally, you baptized Jesus. Why would God let you baptize Him? When he was at the well, why did he ask the woman to give him water? Why would God let you baptize him? Maybe perhaps God sees something in you that you don't see in yourself. I kind of differ from what Ms. LaTanya said, not in a bad way, but I just differ. I don't think that we go into things with the wrong motives. I think that when we do sign up to go to church, when we do sign up for marriage, when we do sign up for a gym membership, when we do sign up for parenthood, we have all the good intentions. But commitment is not based on intentions. It's based on actuality, factuals, the go-through process, the follow-through. Because I know right now you can decipher in your mind any relationship you've been in that didn't last, where they was the wrong party, they was guilty. You might surmise that that person or persons, they didn't love you like they say they did. Could we come make that conclusion, Mr. DJ?
Yes, sir.
We can make that conclusion. I think if you and your emotions, if you and your feelings, you would make that answer, okay? So you would say they lied. They didn't love you. They really didn't love you. They wasn't committed to you. They wasn't all in. But place that on pause for a second. Let's go to this other table. Let's go to the table of us and our interactions with God. You know, when we made some promises, especially in the new year, because we say 2016 is our year, just like we said 2013, 12, 11, 10, so forth and so on, right?
That's right.
And this year, we're going to get it right. Okay? Now, let's go back to our other table where the person did wrong. They went into it with the right intent, but their follow-through showed that their level of commitment wasn't right. Now, let me ask you this. As we look at both tables, look at both of them. Did that mean they really didn't love you because they erred and they didn't follow through? Because we also err and don't follow through with God. Because right now, would anybody say on this phone that you're living sold out for God? I mean, sold out. Huh? I ain't talking about, you know, I'm going to sin tomorrow, Mr. Carr. That ain't sold out. Sold out says I can control whether I sin or not. Sin doesn't control you. You control sin. You do know that, right?
That's right.
Okay, but would you say that you love God, and if you didn't follow through, does that mean that you didn't love God in the first place, or did that just mean you made a mistake?
Hmm.
Now look back at that other table with that person with you. Did that mean that they didn't love you, or did they just make a mistake? Now, I know somebody smart and going to say, well, they kept on doing it, and they did it enough, and I got tired. But look at how many times they did wrong to you versus how many times we've done wrong to God. Again, right. My question is, does that mean that you don't love God? Do you judge the same way in which you judge them by? The same barometer? Because we'll say they was never all in with us, because if they really loved us, they would have done X, Y, and Z. Well, what if God say, if you was all in with me, you would do X, Y, and Z. Does that make sense, everybody? Commitment has nothing to do with how you go in and your intent. It don't. I'm going to show you it don't. Even through the lessons that we learned this past week, Mr. DJ, let's go see. This is what the Learning Center is all about. We got to learn. Let's recap and then open up some other doors. Okay? Check this out. There's a parable in the Bible. Okay? Parable in the Bible where the father asked one son something and asked the other son something. One son said he wouldn't. The other son said he would. But look at the intent. Because wasn't it just stated tonight that you had wrong motives going in? That does not make you committed. You didn't start off loving God like you do. Because if you did, you have 20, 30, 50 other things you can be doing right now, but you're on this line. We didn't just bust into earth wide open being holy. No, we didn't start off being commitment. We had malicious intent. But something got our attention somewhere down the line. Because the child who was committed to the daddy was the one who said, I wouldn't. That's the one who actually followed through. The one who had good intentions didn't. So don't say that commitment has everything to do with your intent from the get-go. Do y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Commitment is based on factuals. Commitment is based on factuals. People, this is the Learning Center. All or nothing. You have to humble yourselves. We have to humble ourselves, even in the natural world, Mr. DJ. Okay? Because the things that we learned from John the Baptist this past week was profound. In the natural world, if you had your own business, if you felt some kind of way about somebody because they didn't return your calls, you saying what? They don't want your business, Mr. DJ. That's what somebody going to say. They don't want your business because if they really wanted your business, they'd have called you. Why would you have a nasty attitude with that person? Because if ever they wanted to come back, they would never choose your business to come back to.
Exactly.
What I'm trying to tell you is commitment is not how one may come at you from the onset. It's the follow through. See, in other words, because they didn't follow through with you and they chose not to use your business, they may be your biggest customer in the future. But because we lack commitment to God, in other words, see, we're only nice to people who are nice to us. We're not nice to people who are rude to us. Because of our follow-through. Commitment is based on consistency and follow through. And follow through. The Bible says win souls. This is a learning center. A wise man wins souls. To win something, ding, ding, knock, knock. Y'all hear me? Look at this. To win something means it must first be lost. That means there's a lot of lost souls that are not committed to God. So because they didn't start off committed to God, do you think that God is going to turn his back on them and say they can never be committed to me? Do you really think that God would say that? See, God ain't like us, as we've learned this week. Because, see, when somebody didn't commit to you in the beginning, talking about, they want a DJ over me. Tell them when DJ go down, you better go down with them because they ain't coming here no more. See, that's foolery. God will take anything that is open and viable that wants to be committed. You don't have to look far. Look in the mirror. He takes us.
So, Mr. Carr, could you say that commitment is a discipline that has no emotion?
It has no emotion.
Exact discipline with no emotion. I mean, you mentioned business a second ago, and that's why a lot of people aren't in business, because we make decisions based on emotion.
But hold on, Mr. DJ. You brought up something profound. You said it's a decision based on emotion. What is love, though? Because a lot of people think that love is based on emotion. Because let me correct this. Y'all, love is not an emotion because God is not an emotion. See, we confuse godly, heavenly love with emotion. In other words, it affects our commitment level to God because we emotionally love him. We don't spiritually love him. When you emotionally tied to something, you will be riding a wave of ups and downs. But when you spiritually love something, no matter what it does, it's called unconditional. I love you in spite of. I serve God in spite of. God loves us in spite of all our mess, even the mess that you don't even know about, the mess that you never want to disclose. God loves you. Nothing you can do can stop God from loving you because his love is not based on emotion. Meaning it's not subject to change. When we commit, don't commit because of how you feel. Mr. DJ, you just said something based on business. You know how many people, y'all want to hear this the truth? This is a learning center. You know how many, all or nothing, commitment issues. You know how many people have godmothers and godfathers? Now, where do godmothers and godfathers come from, Mr. DJ? Come from DJ being my buddy, so he can christen my child. But as soon as me and Mr. DJ fall out, God have mercy. Y'all know where I'm going with this? That commitment stops. What he signed up for, he no longer does because it wasn't based in love spiritual. It was based on love emotional.
Right.
Somebody can testify to that? Is that not true? Huh?
Very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm. The person you're the closest to, that's all of a sudden your godmother, godfather. The person your parents is closest to. But what happens when their relationship falls out? Something turns sour in their relationship.
You can't financially commit to loaning them no money. See how far you're going to go after God, father, God, mother then.
It's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. DJ, let's break something down. What is, in layman terms, what? How would you define issue? I-S-S-U-E, issue. What is an issue?
An issue is nothing more than a situation.
A situation.
That's
okay.
That's simply all it could be is a situation.
It's a problem. Let's talk about a problem.
Okay.
So when we say a commitment issue, essentially what we're saying is commitment problems. Now, we've talked about all week about the commitment problems between us and God. Let's talk about the natural stuff. What can we learn about our natural commitment issues? Okay? Now, this is the one where we'll flip it around. We're not going to say the commitment issues that we have towards things. What about the commitment issues that people have towards you? Why don't people commit to you? Is it something wrong with you, or is it something wrong with them?
Mm.
Can people deem you to be reliable?
Mm.
What problems do people have with you that they can't commit to you? You different? You misunderstood? What is it?
Mm. Some say it's the God in me.
It may be the God in you. It causes you to be different because you tell it like it is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right? People don't want to be around honesty and truth.
I think more or less the God in them is not the same God that's in me.
That could be the case.
That's where the situation comes in at.
But that's a good point that you just brought up, Mr. DJ. Now, y'all need to hear this. This is our recap of the weekend. We learned so much, and this is the Learning Center. Now, check this out. The same God is in them. It's not the same God is in me, so that means we're serving two different gods. That's why we have commitment issues. Can somebody, I need somebody to press star 5 real quick. I need two people because I need some answers, and I mean this, okay? Check this out. Respond to this question. Would you, let's be honest now, would you even get to know somebody who wants to know you but don't want to know the God that you serve?
Mm.
Come on, be honest. Be honest. Come on. I need to know would you and why. Either way, yes or no and why.
All right, we have our first caller, Mr. Clark.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Please share your answer to the question.
I would say no.
Okay. And why wouldn't?
I just have a big thing with that. I just have a big thing with that because you just
talk to me. Don't hold back now. You hold something over there.
Well, you're just bound to run into problems, and I have. I'm not going to say I just intentionally did it, but I went down the avenue where, like, okay, they're not perfect, and, you know, we all think we can change people, and even though I learned as a child that it's easier for a center man to bring a church person down than it is for a church person to bring up that center man. So I would just say over past experiences, you're heading for issues, problems and stuff if you do that. It's not going to work.
I like that. Thank you for that. You stay right there. Don't hang up that line. Hold on. Stay right there. Who we have next, Ms. Tiana?
That's the only person right now, Mr. Clark.
The only person you want to tell me about that list? So you mean to tell me? Nobody else have anything? Hold on. Something ain't right with this thing. See, now we not being committed to God for real. Because we need to know. Somebody needs to know. Because y'all hear from me, so y'all expect a certain way I should talk lingo, right? What about y'all? Would you commence, go forward with getting to know someone who doesn't want to know the God that you serve?
All right.
I think some of them don't want to be a hypocrite. I think some of us have people who we are getting to know, who we know we shouldn't be getting to know.
Hush your mouth. Go ahead, get the call on the phone. Mr. DJ about to start them.
I think you said
good evening, caller. Good evening, caller. Please go ahead and share your answer to the question.
Okay, my answer to the question, no, I wouldn't, but I have been with someone who wasn't. But I thought I can change them, so that's why I went that route. But, no, I wouldn't want to.
Okay. Thank you for that. Let me get back to
we
my first caller.
We got another caller.
My first caller. We got somebody else?
Yeah, we have someone else.
Okay, everybody, floodgates open. Come on, what we got?
Mm-hmm. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and share your response.
I would say I have. I became friends with a coworker. At the time, I didn't know that she didn't believe in God. But we became friends, and it was a very long friendship. And during that time, she began to want to hear more about God. And we've been friends for 20 years. And at the beginning of that 20 years, it wasn't, I couldn't talk about certain things. But as, I don't know if she saw things happen in my life or I don't know what was going on, but I actually saw a post from her, and she said, I am very blessed to have certain people in my life. And she pinned out three different people that are Christians. And, that really touched my heart because over the years it wasn't that. And I noticed in the last probably 5 to 6 years, she had been slowly wanting to know more. And she even would say, pray for me. Or can you, different things that I saw changing in our relationship as a friendship. So it just depends on, we are supposed to save souls. So everybody is not going to be serving the same God. But if they see the God in you, they're going to want to know eventually. And I'm not saying everybody will, but I'm saying in this case, this lady, it's almost like a turnaround.
Okay. Okay. So let me address you first, and then I'm going to address the other caller. So with this one, the getting to know is more based on formal friends, things like that. Okay?
Yes.
Slightly outside the question, but I'm going to address it anyway. So that's good. So that does not compromise our commitment level if, because you got to understand, if you put two babies in one room, one baby is going to be domineering. The other baby is going to follow suit.
True.
Okay? You got to be very careful what you befriend if you are not well equipped in God yet. Because what will happen is you'll start acting like them as opposed to them start acting like you.
Okay.
Okay? If you just notice, she said she became friends. Now you say, Mr. Carter, what the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement, Mr. DJ?
That's right.
But this is the deal. When you walking together with your friends, I don't care who they are. If they smoke weed, if they drink it, I'm just calling out natural sins. We got spiritual sins that people can't see. But what I'm saying is, that don't mean that they're doing it at that point in time. I know people that smoke, but don't do it in front of me. And if they did it in front of me, I know how to remove myself.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, do not let the devil take over where you can slide in. In this question, in this scenario, what I mean by that is simply this. You are still committed to God, although your friend is doing something that God does not like. They're not doing it at the immediate time. That's your time to get in and make as big an impact as you can. Not with the word of God all the time, because some people turn away from the word of God. Remember, Jesus came wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was wrapped in flesh. And he actually said, shh, don't tell them who I am. What's more important than you telling them about God is showing them God, showing them love, not emotion, but showing them love that's corrective. In other words, I can say, DJ, you know that ain't right. We still going to shoot some ball today, though? See how I just slipped that in on? In other words, I'm showing him that I love him, huh? But I ain't trying to beat him over the head with the word of God. Because you know in Matthew 15:5, it says this, DJ. I didn't do that. As opposed to telling him Matthew 15:5, because he got his own Bible, why don't I show him Matthew 15:5? And essentially, that's what the caller is saying. So that is good in this essence, okay? But y'all notice she said she couldn't talk about certain things. Got to be careful with that, because that can compromise our commitment, especially when you see wrong and you're not willing to correct wrong, because you're more involved in the friendship based on they like me as opposed to what God is pleased with. Because I know there's many of us, I can raise my hand too, that will not say something that is wrong when we see it. Because we'll say, that ain't none of my business. And you know what you just did? You compromise your commitment to God because you say, God, I love you, meaning I will obey you. And the Bible says, when you see error, go to your brother and L-O-V-E.
and restore them, lest ye also be tempted and fail. That means when we don't say something, that means Satan tempted us not to say something. Because remember, God doesn't tempt. That means we didn't want to rupture the relationship, and we wanted mommy and daddy to keep on talking to us. We wanted our friend across the street to keep on talking to us, our coworkers to keep on liking us, as opposed to falling in love with God. We want them to like us over God. So that says, God, I'm not committed to you. I'm committed to them liking me, not loving you. Come on, y'all know?
Okay.
So we got to be careful. And another thing the caller just said, and I need y'all to be careful about this, because this is a learning center, okay, commitment issues. She said that the person acknowledged her, pinged her, three people. Please don't get caught up in that snare by the devil. Because had that person not acknowledged her, would you get mad, DJ? Typically we would, because all the time I have invested and I pray with them every morning and they can't acknowledge me, see, now pride has slipped in and it's going to cause you to decommit from that person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got to be careful, y'all. I'm trying to tell y'all something. Now, somebody might say, because somebody want to be on the up and up, Mr. Carr, I wouldn't get mad. You live in flesh. Yes, you would. Because if it didn't mean that, you wouldn't have said it just then. Let me say that again. If it didn't mean nothing, you wouldn't have said it. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Our commitment level is based on how we feel. In other words, I got acknowledged for what I did. Remember, don't get caught up in that snare. Because what God, what devil will do, just like he did with Job, he said, God, let me test him. Let me take away everything from him. You protecting him. You got a hedge of protection around her. Let me take away all the acknowledgement, and then let's see if she's still committed to the things you told her to do with that young lady, her friend. And y'all know when people don't acknowledge us, what we start to say, when we get holier than thou, don't cast your pearls into swine. In other words, they don't appreciate you because they don't acknowledge you. Don't we?
Indeed.
Well, I done went on a deep end. Somebody needed it. They done jumped off the boat. Okay. It's the truth. Because if somebody don't acknowledge us, we get mad. In other words, that causes us to pull back from that person. In other words, we're not committed to what God called us to do with that person no more. All right. I high-five myself. Thank you. Thank you, caller. Try to get ready to close out, Mr. DJ. But let me get to the other caller. Do you see that caller?
I'm here.
Okay, good deal. You got me on speaker in the bathroom, huh? Okay. So check this.
No, I'll take
over, huh?
No, I have you on Bluetooth. Hold on,
please. Oh, Bluetooth? Okay. Good deal, good deal. So this is good because something she said. Repeat your answer to everybody, please.
Repeat it?
I
just said, for the most part, like the other caller, she's talking from a friendship level, and I was kind of talking about from, you know, a relationship with the opposite sex. And you know, it's just hard because if you're looking to take that, I mean, I don't go into a relationship just looking for it to be I'm just dating this guy. I go into a relationship thinking that perhaps we could take it to the next level. So if you're thinking about taking it to the next level and, you know, you're into church and then he isn't, it's just going to be issues. And, I mean, what do you do? Like, once you marry the person, okay, if you were with the guy before and he wasn't into church and then you marry him, do you just stay there and keep on expecting him to, you know, to get on your level, or is he going to bring you down faster than you bring him up? And I just saw that growing up where a lot of the older women, when I was a child, a lot of the older women, they had married, but their spouse was not on their level. Now, they still did the godly thing. They still came to church and brought the kids to church and everything, but it wasn't until years that spouse finally, you know, committed to God. I'm talking about like 20 or 30 years. So
you had to have some good patience for that.
Yeah, and I don't have that. I'm sorry. Okay. That's one of my weaknesses.
there's nothing wrong with that because you know where you are. And, you know,
right.
Yeah. So now what she's saying is it's coming from 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 as we talk about we're about to get ready to close this learning center out, all or nothing, commitment issues. How can you commit to someone who doesn't want to commit to the God that you serve? 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, do not, Mr. DJ. I didn't say sometimes. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I think that's a warning for all of us when we engage in this thing called relationships. How can we commit to God when the person you're trying to get to know doesn't want to commit to God? They want to commit to knowing you.
Mm.
And I thought you and God more so than you and your family, more so than you and your kids, more so than you and your job and your money. You and God is more of a package deal than anything else. So if you, my friend, let someone get close to you and not get close to the God in you, what are you telling God? What are you telling God? Every time they come over, God, go in a room somewhere. Go hide somewhere. That's essentially what you're doing. What'd you say?
That they're more important than he is.
There you go. There it is, Mr. DJ. They're more important.
That's right.
So with that being said, Mr. DJ, sum that up. Is that true commitment to God?
Well, there is. And I wanted to say this even earlier when the ladies were talking. Real quick. Back in, some of y'all, this is before your time, back in the 80s, early 80s, there was a drink that was out in the world called Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola basically was running things throughout the South. And most of the North, where they say pop, Pepsi. Pepsi was running things. Well, back in 84, Pepsi decides to do this campaign to just say, Pepsi tastes better than Coke. And let me first say, I like both of them. So don't write me no letters or emails or anything about them, but I like both of them. But once again, Pepsi came out and said that we taste better. And they started this ad campaign that said, hey, you know, take the taste challenge. Make sure you take the taste challenge. And in the taste challenge in grocery stores, they would give the Coke a little Dixie cup full of Coke and a little Dixie cup full of Pepsi be blindfolded, and Pepsi would win every time. Well, Coke saw this, and they decided to change their Coke. They decided to come out with something called New Coke. Like I said, I'm telling my age, but New Coke came out, and it was a flop. Nobody wanted to buy it. Reports were down. Finances were down. They were down like they have never been down before with Coca-Cola. And they're trying to figure out what is wrong. They changed the formula of the Coke so it would be sweeter, just like Pepsi. But see, here's the issue with that. The issue with that is it was just a taste. When you get a taste, that's not the whole thing. Don't be fooled by the devil's taste.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be fooled by someone else's taste. Coke immediately zipped New Coke and went back to the old Coke. Now you know it is Coca-Cola Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't know what we have looking over on the other side. And that's where commitment comes in. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is the grass ain't always, I'm pretty sure y'all heard that, the grass ain't always greener on the other side. If it is, what comes with it? How often do you have to mow it?
Yeah.
What kind of attention and treatment does it need?
Yeah.
See, when you have your commitment, don't be fooled by the taste. The devil can offer you, that's what he's known for, offering you a taste. Don't be fooled by the taste. It may taste good, but at what price? What else comes along with that?
That's right.
So what I'm saying is commitment means discipline, which is what we talked about before, an exact discipline. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, but if you got God, leading you, if he is the head, guess what? You don't have to worry about nothing. A preacher once told me, take a chance. The fight is fixed. Why wouldn't you take a chance if you know the fight is fixed? See, he writes the ending first. If you already know the end result, if you already know the outcome, why not get in there and fight?
Mm-hmm.
Get in there and fight for it. If that's the one who's supposed to be leading you, he's supposed to be the head of your life, take a chance. Follow him. Follow him thoroughly. And I'm not saying that we're all perfect, but at the same time, why not take a chance? And that's what made me turn to my commitment.
That's
I got tired
is,
of and trying to do things my way. See, when you're in charge, you might get a little bit of something. But see, when you let God handle everything, when you let him take over, you don't have nothing to worry about.
That's what it is. And that's where commitment comes in, following Christ. And that following Christ, just like the caller we were just talking to, you know, it's the follow-through. She clearly says she cannot get to know someone on a personal level, not the friendship, but on a personal level. And I respect that because I agree. If someone doesn't want to know God, how can you get to know them? How can you let them get to know you? Because they're saying that I'm not committed. In other words, I'm uninterested in God. I'm interested in you. But if God comes first, you got to let them meet God first. When we get to know people and we don't get to know their God and let them know our God, that means your commitment level is tarnished from the giddy-up. Because you committed to what you see. So don't get mad when he goes and finds the next woman who has voluptuous curves. Because he's committed to what he sees. The reason why he wasn't committed to you, see, what you tried to do is you tried to blend natural with spiritual. You approached him and you got him based on the natural. Now you want to involve God later on when things start to sag. But remember, he was committed to getting to know you, meaning the curves. You no longer have them. That's why he's going after the little ones. I'm trying to teach us something. But if commitment with God from the giddy up, if you made them commit to the same God that you're committed to, and if they can't commit to that God, they can't have you. God never changes. That means their commitment would never change towards you. The reason their commitment changes towards you is because they was focused on you, and we change. God don't. Did that help somebody?
Yes, sir.
And just like, and it goes the other way around, too. Every commitment we've broken to folk is because we was committed to them and not to God. We committed to doing stuff for people because we wanted to. We was emotionally high at that moment, but we didn't commit to God telling us to do it. So when we broke it, it was based on how they made us feel. They no longer make us feel that way. So therefore, we no longer love the people that we used to love. You remember when you fell in love with her? You used to say you love her every day? You don't love her no more. Why? You don't love him no more. Why? Because if you was committed to the God in them, you'll still love them no matter what. You know why? Because you'll say, look, we ain't together, but I love you because I love the person that God created you to be. But you don't see the God in them. And that ain't their fault. That means you entered into the relationship wrong. So you committed this into something that subsequently can change. Come on, people. We are dogs here, huh?
That's real.
That's right.
How about real as you got get? So when we commit to the things of God, stop worrying about if people commit to you. When we commit to God, trust me, God is going to send you the right commitment, mate. But in the meantime or between time, you make sure you commit to the things of God. Even though somebody may not see God in themselves, you, my friend, should say have the same vision God has. And with the God they don't see in themselves, you're supposed to see the God in them. You should be walking around here telling people that you love them. Now, they might misconstrue it. Oh, well. They misconstrued Jesus, too.
But your love is not predicated on a physical desire. Love, your love is predicated on the spirit man that needs to be stirred up in them like Kool-Aid.
All right.
You can enrich a whole bunch of people, but because we're not committed to God, we refuse to tell people we love them because I don't want my girlfriend, I don't want my boyfriend, I don't want my other person over there to hear them say I love them because they're going to feel some kind of way. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Mr. DJ. Check this out. I can say I love the DJ and there ain't no homo going on. You know why? Because I'm committed to God, not what y'all think. I can tell this woman on this phone right now I love her and not blink. You know why? Because I'm committed to God no matter what y'all think. See? So if you want to get to know me, you got to get to know God first. And then you'll understand why I say I love her. But when we're not committed to God, here go confusion in full flesh operation. Because we committed to the word love, meaning sexual. Because we don't know no better. I'm going to leave it at that. Learning Center? Good. We good. Mr. DJ, you want to pray for us?
Sure, everybody, bow your heads, open up your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly on bending knee to say thank you, Father. Not to too much ask for anything, but just to say thank you for what you have already done. We know that you write the ending right after you write the beginning, but the middle is left up to us. Father, we ask you for traveling grace and mercy. We ask you to bless our families, our friends, our enemies, and even our acquaintances, Father. We ask that you keep us on the path and keep us committed in the disciplines to share your word that it may reach and touch someone else and make a difference in someone's lives. We all are here learning together under one umbrella to lift you up, Father. And you said if they are one that are called, my people are called by my name to lift me up, to just lift you up, Father, then you will draw them into you. And that's our mission, Father. We ask that you take care of us and help us to take care of each other. In your son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I have a great night, and we will see y'all on Wednesday for Bible study.
All right.
Good night.